Congregation, the text for this morning is the command we read in John 21, verse 6. John 21, verse 6, and the context, and he said unto them, cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. So far. Jesus' rich supply. Three thoughts. No fish. And secondly, much fish. And in the third place, prepared fish. Jesus' rich supply. No fish. Have ye any meat? No. Secondly, much fish, and they could not draw the net because of the multitude of fishes. And prepared fish, come and dine. There was fish already on that fire. These rich supply, no fish, much fish, prepared fish. Congregation, the Apostle Peter addressed the other six, seven in total, I see them. Let's go fishing. I am going fishing. And they said, we go with you. How did they feel? Were they disillusioned? Kind of, let's go back to our former work. We are tired of this. Let us just go back to Galilee and just start fishing again, our old occupation. I can't handle this anymore. I'm depressed. Is that what it is? I go fishing. I go with you. Some explain it that way. But I can't find proof of that. I'm not so sure about that. Rather, I don't think like that. You know what else should they do? The Lord Jesus has told them to go back to Galilee. There he would appear unto them. So that they go back to Galilee was a good thing. And that they say to kill the time. Let's do something. Let us fish. Let us do something. Not sitting idle. Idleness is the pillow of the devil. Let us do something. Be active and provide for our families and be useful instead of just sitting down and just waiting and wasting time. I read 1 Thessalonians 4. And that you study to be quiet and to do your own business and to work with your own hands as we commanded you. The Thessalonians had an eager expectation, the Lord Jesus would come back soon, and they said, why would you go back to work? Why would you do anything? The Lord Jesus is coming. Times are so serious. Why would it even work? There's this wait. He can come any time. The Apostle Paul said, no, you work. Your own business, with your own hands, be busy, work. It's healthy, it's good. You were made for that. So it's a warning against laziness. Maybe you need to hear that. Young friends, older friends, do something. Be useful, volunteer. If you don't need the money, do something. It's a calling. See what you could do instead of just lingering and loitering and doing nothing. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and on this wise showed he himself. Have you seen it, first verse? You almost skip it. You almost say, no, the first one, that's so basic. Let's just go back to verse 2 and 3. No, give it some time. After these things, Jesus. It's about Jesus again. It's not about the disciples in the first place, about him. After these things, Jesus showed himself, revealed himself. Here I am. Here I am, and that's the story about, that the Lord Jesus Christ reveals himself to his disciples again. After these things, Jesus, you know what Jesus means, right? He will save his people from their sins. Jesus, does he mean anything to you? After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples. He was not tired of that. He was kind and compassionate and loving. He showed himself again. Not only one time, but more times. This is the third time that he reveals himself to a group of disciples, to a few of them at the same time, the third time. Is it our prayer today that he might reveal himself for the first time? Or that he may reveal himself again to your heart? And that you may see him today in the Word, through the Spirit, and adore him and say, Lord, my God. Pray for that. That the Lord may make room for you in your heart for him. But also see how the Lord works those things. And on this wise, showed he himself. Always those same patterns and ways. This is the way how he showed himself. That together Simon Peter, Thomas, called Didymus, Nathanael of Cana of Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two other of his disciples. Seven in total. Two of them we don't know the names of. Four of them are not present. And the Lord yet continues on. I had to think about that. Simon Peter is mentioned first again, always. The leader, he denied the Lord Jesus. He was boasting. He had a strong character. He had a man of grace. He's mentioned first. And then Thomas mentioned second. Really? That unbelieving Thomas, he is mentioned second. The Lord has been mindful of him. He also becomes a leader of the church, moves to India, and is the founder of the church there. And two other of his disciples, we don't know the name of, but who cares? There are also people of God, anonymous. Nobody knows about them. Hardly anyone knows their names. They're just blending in with the wall. And yet God's people. And their names are written in the book of life. Would you love to be one of them? Do you care if your name is known by the people like Peter and Thomas? You say, well, that's not important to me. I'm not looking for honor and glory. If only my name may be in the book. Simon Peter saith unto them, I go fishing. They say unto him, we also go with thee. They went forth, entered into a ship. Immediately, they hurry. They're not lazy. They want to do something now. And that night, they caught nothing. the whole night working hard. Working hard, how do we know? Well, the apostle Peter didn't have his overcoat on, right? He had to do it, he had to put it on again. So apparently he was sweating and warm in the night. So they were casting the net and drawing the net and casting it again and drawing it again, and the whole night long sweating and toiling and being busy and getting tired, and they caught nothing. Remarkable. But when the morning was come, Jesus stood on the shore, was looking. And he was looking anyway, in his divine nature. But now he stood there at the shore also in his human nature, just looking at that. He was present. And when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore. But the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. See? So the Lord looked at his church, looked at those disciples, seeing them busy and toiling and steering all those fish away from the boat so that no fish could even come close on purpose. In his providence, they're not supposed to catch one fish. On purpose. And on this wise showed he himself by sending all the fish away. And he stood on the shore, keeping watch over his disciples, looking at them. From eternity he looked already. He loved them with an eternal love and deeply cared for them. And he saw them busy and toiling and struggling. They're not suffering, I would say. Not suffering. So the Lord Jesus, oh, today, is standing on the shore of eternity. From heaven, he looks upon his church and he sees his own people struggling and toiling and sweating and busy and also suffering and also their fears and concerns and everything, and their mourning, and their anxieties. He knows them. What a blessing to belong to that people. It is a Jesus for us standing on the shore, looking at us, keeping watch over us. As the good shepherd, feed my lambs, he said later. He is the shepherd himself. He cares for the sheep and the lambs, for all of them. And he has given his life for them. And he rose from the dead. And he's standing here on the shore. Seek him. Seek that Jesus for yourself someday. Your aorta ruptures. Or your heart comes to a standstill. Or you get cancer, or another serious disease, and it's coming. It is coming. 100% sure, sooner or later, it's going to happen anyway. So why not seek the Lord before it is too late? He's standing on the shore, and they saw someone standing there, I suppose, and did not know that it was Jesus. Like with Mary Magdalene, right? She approached the gardener. It was Jesus. And she did not know it was Jesus. Or think of those two men traveling to Emmaus. And they just unburdened and unloaded and told all the things they had experienced. And they talked to Jesus. And did not know it was Jesus. Because their eyes were kept closed. So sometimes God's children are closer to Jesus than they know themselves. Actually, they always are. Even if they don't feel it. Even if they feel such a distance. Even if it is so cold. Even the word is so closed, and no application to the Spirit. He is still so close to them, and they don't know it was Jesus. And others may think they're close. They are not. And the Lord Jesus is not their Savior yet. They know the Bible. They're baptized. They have some experience. They have some impressions. They have some days that they feel down and some days that they feel some courage. But they don't know Him. They're strangers to Him. Then Jesus saith unto them, Children, have ye any meat? They answered him, No. Children. Some say it was common word. Boys, lads, men, kind of friends, kind of informal. An informal, kind way of approaching some young men. Children. Others say, no, it's as children. So they were his children, spiritual children. I don't deny that they were. But I'm not sure how they felt about it, if it was uncommon or not. Maybe not. But they were children. From the Lord's perspective, they were his children, his people, bought at a price, he's given his blood, adopted them. So they were children. Have ye any meat? Have ye anything to eat? Meat, he means food. It's an old word. Meat is an old word for food, for victual, for something to eat. Do you have any fish, he meant? And they must have thought he was a buyer, a salesperson. He wanted fish to bring to Jerusalem, to the feast, to also sell it there. Something like that. The children, have you any meat? And the Lord Jesus knew they hadn't. And he yet asked them, Have ye any meat? So the Lord Jesus sometimes is asking questions he knows the answer to already. Also this morning, how are you doing? Naturally, health-wise, spiritually, children-wise, marriage-wise, business-wise, how are you doing? He knows the answer, but he wants you to say it, to tell him, to come forward, to unburden, to lay before him. Have ye any meat? They answered him, No. But how would I say that? Something like, No. Any meat? No. We don't have anything? No. Abrupt? Cold? Rude? Loud? No. Short? Or, No. No, we don't have any. No. There was a distance of 100 meters, right? So you don't tell long stories. You don't give an explanation. You don't say, we have fished the whole night, but we have not caught anything yet. So that they are short is understandable. And I don't think there is proof that they were rude to him. No. But they had to say it though. That's how the Lord works. And on this wise showed he himself to empty them. Well, does this have a deeper meaning? No. No fish? I would say so. Many miracles have a deeper meaning than the man that was born blind was healed. John 9, the Lord Jesus spoke about spiritual blindness. Right? And the Lord Jesus had also spoken to them before, I will make you fishers of men. Right? And they also read in Matthew 13, verse 47, something about that. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a net that was cast to the sea and gathered of every kind, which when it was full, they drew to shore and sat down and gathered the good into the vessels, but they cast the bad ones away. So I would say, yes, this is typical. This has a deeper meaning. In the first place, this meaning, that we men and mothers and teachers and elders and deacons, we cannot get any fish in the net. We cannot convert people. We cannot change the hearts. We cannot draw them out of that darkness. They are so unwilling, so rebellious, so dead in sins. We can't catch any fish, not even one. And the fish is unwilling as well, trying to escape all the time. That's our situation. Impossible to catch any fish in the net. No. Nobody can save his own soul, his children's soul, people's soul. I read in Psalm 53, the same text that was quoted by Paul in Romans 3. Every one of them has gone back. They are all together become filthy. There's none do good. No, not one. So, he doesn't say we have only a few fish, or one big one, or a small one. It is absolutely nothing in that net. And that was on purpose. That's the way of the Lord, how he teaches people. This is on this wise. Showed himself. And if I may draw a parallel line, so that's not directly in the text, but parallel to this, the Lord often works this way also personally, to let sinners know that they have no good works, that they have nothing to present. They have nothing of any value to bring into the Lord. Nothing. Have you any meat? No. I have nothing. I can't bring anything to the Lord. I have no good works. I have no faith. I have no experiences. It's all invalid. My net is empty. It's the Lord's way of working. To show people their inability and their unwillingness and having no fish. So let me ask you something this morning. Children, do you have any meat? Congregation, young friends, do you have anything for the Lord? Have you anything to bring into him? And I hope you cry and say, no. No, I have nothing. That's how the Lord works. Empty your nets. And then you feel your need, the necessity of God's salvation only from his side. Nothing from our side. But then, second thought, much fish. He said unto them, cast the net on the right side of the ship. you shall find. The right side of the ship was, as some say, closer to the shore. Maybe. More unlikely then to catch fish. Probably. So it didn't make much sense then to say to the right side, what's the difference anyway? A couple meters away from that. Why on the right side? And those experienced fishermen, would they look at her and say, what? Would we do that? What do you think about it? Let's have a discussion on it. We are the seven of us. That man unknown to us commands us to cast it on the other side. Are we going to do that? Really? Because that unknown man told us to. Why would we do that? Oh, some have said that man on the shore saw some flickering, saw the backs of those fish, saw a shoal of fish, saw some turmoil in the water. Are you trying to take the wonder away? It's a wonder after all. Was nothing to be seen. The Lord Jesus said, cast the net on the right side of the ship and ye shall find. There was something in that voice. What was it? Tenderness or, well, authority, power, love. I don't know what, but they had to obey. They were made willing. He said, cast the net on the right side of the ship, ye shall find. They cast, therefore. They did it. They cast, therefore, in obedience. Now, you may remember that 3 years ago, 3 years before this chapter, they were also in a ship. And the Lord Jesus said, launch out to the deep and cast the net. And they said, we've got nothing all night. And he said, cast the net. And I read this. And Simon answering said unto Master, you have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. And when they had done this, they enclosed the great multitude of fishes and the net break. That's in Luke 4. So something different. Then the net broke. The net does not break this time. But that voice, upon thy word, I will cast the net. So there was something of the Holy Spirit in there. Something irresistible. They had to obey. They cast it for the net. And now, they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. It was a huge amount of fish. A multitude of fishes. And they tried to drag it to shore. It's so heavy. And it's a little ship. Maybe an additional ship, I'm not sure. Or the same ship. And they slowly bring it to land. Now I'll skip a few verses. We'll come back to those. Bring it to land. And there are so many of them. And a few things. Cast the net. They did it, and immediately the net was filled with big ones only. No small ones, no small ones, only big ones. Strange. And the net did not break. So what is that all about? About abundance. About efficacy, about perseverance, Let me just explain. Abundance. When the Lord works, He is not thrifty. He is generous. And He gives a lot. Like at the wedding of Cana in Galilee, fill those water pots halfway. No, to the brim. And think of those times the Lord Jesus fed thousands of people and there were baskets left over. So many left over, there was enough, there was more than enough, super abundant. It was meant for a multitude and He gives much. That's the Lord. Therefore sprang even of one and of him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky, a multitude. What is that about? Well, Abraham. Abraham was worried about his offspring and about the work of the Lord and about the nations. He had no children yet, and the Lord had said, "In thee all the families of the earth will be blessed." And the Lord showed him the stars, right? The multitude of stars, so many you cannot number. That's the same with the fish. God's people. It will be a large crowd. Nobody can number. Compared to the world, a small flock, I know. And yet, a huge crowd. Nobody can number. As the stars of heaven, the Lord says to those disciples, "I will make you fishers of men. And I will catch my people. And I will catch them all. And I will catch them alone. And the net is not going to break. And I'm not going to lose any of them. I will have them all." The exact number, 153 fish. That's not a symbolic number, I don't think. This indicates an exact number. And so the Lord continues to work in the hearts of people. And He will have His people. And He will show them their need. And He will show them their sins. And they won't escape. And they will persevere. And not one of them will be missed. Remember the response in Luke 4? When so many fish are caught. What did Peter say? "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man." May that be the response this morning. That you hear about the abundance of mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ. May you see it. You've sinned against the holy, but also against the good-doing God. So generous. And hopefully you go home that way. "Depart from me. I'm a sinful man. I don't deserve that." May you feel it. Have a longing in your heart to know this Savior for your sins, to be prepared for eternity. Much fish. There'll be something to be in heaven with all the angels, myriads of angels, all God's people joining in choirs and singing and living on a new earth under a new heaven, as you hope to see tonight. In His presence is fullness of joy. Splendid redemption. See how efficacious the Lord is? He does not miss one fish. And so the Lord says us on this morning hour, "I continue until the last one has been caught." And in case you are downhearted and say, "I have no fish, I have nothing," He has everything. He has everything to supply you, all your needs, spiritual needs as well. grace in the Lord Jesus Christ. Satan tells you it's probably not for you. If I would be, would you just enjoy life a little bit? Forget about it. It's not for you anyway. He makes you downhearted or makes you shallow and say, of course it's for me. Seek the Lord. No fish. Yes, much fish. And he even prepared a fish. Our third thought. So the disciples cast the net on the right side of the ship. It was filled right away and they could not draw the net because of the multitude of fishes. And therefore the disciple whom Jesus loved, that is John, right, said unto Peter, it's the Lord. So he began to realize, John was first, John said, it's the Lord. Deep thinker, connecting the dots. This is a repeat. I remember 3 years ago, it's the Lord, must be, I'm convinced. He said to Peter, it's the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girded his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked, and it cast himself into the sea. He was standing in his undergarment, and he felt, in order to be before Jesus, I have to put my coat on. Right? I have to do that. In respect. And he threw himself overboard and started to swim or to wade, I'm not sure. So John stayed in the ship. He possibly didn't say, come John, come Thomas. He just went by himself. And the others didn't say, Peter, stay in this boat. Let's do it together. No, there's a difference. The one jumps overboard in action, and the other one was a thinker and came to the conclusion before that. It was the Lord. What a difference. And they don't tell each other what to do. And so there's still difference between God's people in character. Some are deep thinkers and feel deep. They understand more and are connecting those dots and remember those things and say, it must be the Lord. And others are doers and have get into action and they do things and they jump overboard sometimes too fast or too quick and too courageous, and a difference. And those are both disciples and friends. They could accept that from one another. They are different. Now in a sense all God's people are the same, right? Same grace, same sin, knowledge of sin, same conversion, many things are the same. There are also things different. Realize that. As consistory, we're all different. The ministers, all different. Parents, different. Teachers, different. That's all right. That's good. That is not judged so easily and base ourselves on the word. So he put his fisher coat on, right? Clothing is an important thing, apparently. You have to clothe yourself according to what you're doing. In respect, think about it for yourself. Because does it matter what you wear? Ever? Yes, it does. See here. And the other disciples came in a little ship, dragged another fishes, and as soon as they were come to land, there's a fire of coals there. What did Peter think? A fire of coals. What was the last time he was standing around the fire of coals? Was that not when he denied the Lord Jesus? Did he think about that? Don't know. And again, he was standing around a fire of coals and fish later on, and bread. So the Lord Jesus did not say, we need your fish, we just have caught, you just have caught. There was fish already, and bread. Really? This is symbolic as well. The Lord Jesus indicating, I don't need your fish. I provide, but I don't need it. I have fish already here, and bread. Now go get your fish as well. But he wants to explain to them, there is a superabundance of that in him. Jesus said, bring the fish which you have now caught. They must realize, they must count them. Why did they count them anyway? Did Jesus ask them to count them? I don't know. Why did they count them? They always did. Just automatically, gathering the fish, all big ones, the net didn't break. And for all there were so many, yet was not the net broken. Jesus said, under come and dine. Dine? Dinner time? You mean breakfast? In the first meal of the day? Yes, that a dine can also mean just a meal. Not necessarily dinner. Just eat with me. Come and eat. And the Lord Jesus handing it out. Verse 13, Jesus cometh and taketh bread and giveth them and fish likewise. What a special moment around that fire. The Lord Jesus handing out the bread and pieces of fish as the master, as he did when he instituted the Lord's Supper as well. Come and dine. Communion, closeness. Fellowship, peace, true harmony, joy. What a special time to be around and with the Lord Jesus Christ and profoundly enjoying the time of his presence, of the nearness of the Lord Jesus Christ. You think of the Lord's Supper? I can see that. But I also think of the gospel preaching. Because whenever God's children, in their hunger, are led to the Lord Jesus Christ, are given something to eat, in church or at home, then they believe in the Lord Jesus, so they eat his flesh and drink his blood and have communion with him. So he prepares it. He says, come and dine. He says, I have it already for you. All things are ready. Eat and drink. Does it make you jealous? God's children sometimes have the Lord's Supper and there's no Lord's Supper. Just in church, at home, reading, meditating. Something that closes the Lord. Lord, speak it and come. Come to me, all ye that are heavy laden. I will give you rest. Come and dine. And I know he was, in this case, inviting his own beloved disciples, children of the Lord already. But there are also texts in the Bible with the word come to unconvert us. Think of the rich young ruler. The Lord Jesus said, sell everything you have and come back. Follow me. Did he mean that? Did he mean that? Of course he did. He always means what he says. So this morning hour, the Lord says, come. Seek me and live. I have much to give. There's plenty of mercy. There's fullness of joy. You don't have to bring anything. It's all for free. I provide. You have no fish. I have all the fish in the world. And I prepare it for you. Nobody is kinder. Nobody meeker. Nobody more truthful than Lord Jesus Christ. Simply said, he is trustworthy. You can trust him. He does not deceive you. You deceive yourself, maybe, but he does not deceive anyone. He means it. Come and dine. Amen. O Lord Almighty, may it please thee to bless the word, to bring it to the hearts. Hopefully something happened already. Arrows are shot in the hearts. People drawn unto thee, we hope and pray that has happened, that is happening, that someone cannot forget about this soon anymore and must seek the Lord, that invisible hand leading the fish into the net. I will make you fisher of men. The Lord has promised to continue. Do not pass us by. Be with us the first of this day. Bring us back to thy house, in Jesus' name alone. Amen.